As promised, we are joined by the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. He is in his fifth season with the team. He led them to 52 wins in the regular season, the most since 2001, and led Philadelphia to the playoffs for the first time in 6 years. Game three of that series, Philadelphia at Miami on Thursday. Sixers head coach Brett Brown is my guest. Brett, good morning. So good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Good to speak to you.
It's good to visit with you, Coach. Now, you had that huge win in Game 1. You knew the series was not going to be easy, so what was your message to your team after last night's game?
That it's such a typical sort of response from any team, and especially, you know, a Miami Heat team. I got tremendous sort of respect for the culture that Coach Riley built, and Eric Spoelstra has done such an amazing job inheriting and moving it forward. And, you know, they're going to come in and they lose game one. The response was physical. It was very desperate. I give them credit. I give them credit. And so we look forward to going down to Miami and trying to reclaim a few wins.
Brett Brown joining us. You know, to your point about them responding the way they did, and especially with a physical brand of basketball, what did you make of how your team responded to that physical response?
I think we struggled in the second period. You know, if you look at the score line, like we won the first period, we won the third period, we won the fourth period. The second period, there was a lot of things that we need to improve on. And if you just zoom into, you know, sort of that period, you're really going to learn a lot. And I think the physicality was something that I give them credit. You know, they drove some of our players sort of upward. You know, they sort of bent us over at times trying to deliver balls. And as I said at the beginning, Jim, it wasn't a mystery to any of us how we thought they were going to play, but to speak it and versus sort of execute against it, you know, I give them credit. They did a good job in that second period.
And then, Brett, I would imagine it was not a big surprise either to see the way Dwayne Wade responded. He's one of the all-time greats, and that's why they brought him back. For moments like that, games like that, 28 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, couple of steals, what was going through your mind when you saw him play the way he played?
I mean, Jim, it was just classic Dwayne Wade stuff, and when you look at the box score, you know, you feel he must have had a great game, and it's true. When you're coaching against him and the way that he scored and the timely baskets, there were a few times I felt the game was in the balance, you know, and was starting to swing. I really could feel momentum swinging. And he would come up with daggers. He really came up with big baskets when it mattered most. And that was the most impressive thing I felt about his performance. We'll all look at, you know, 28 points, but how he got those 28. Some of them were killers during momentum sort of stoppers.
Sixers head coach Brett Brown joining us. Brett, I want to talk to you for a minute about Ben Simmons. He was an absolute monster in game one, and that was his first playoff game ever. J.J. Redick said before that game, quote, "Ben specifically is not affected by the pressure," end quote. I mean, is that how it feels to you? And then how do you explain the fact that somebody so young could be so unaffected by pressure like that and the big stage?
Yeah, in two questions you've asked, yes, it does feel like that to me also. And now in regards to how can that happen with somebody so young, you know, we're all wired. We're all raised. We're all wired differently. We all sort of deal with situations differently. And it's a thing that has stood out to me throughout the year, Jim, that has caught me completely off guard. Everybody sort of questioned, are you really going to try to make a college four-man a point guard? And by the way, he's 6'10". And there were so many things that didn't sort of align or gel or feel right to many people. And, you know, I felt like I saw something in him that I wanted to pursue. I'm glad that I did it. What I didn't know was he actually was going to have a poise and sort of an inner peace, a calmness where he could handle things, you know, internally. I felt like I knew his physical gifts. I knew his desire to pass. But I didn't know really the thing that you're talking about. And he's very, very unique to the league, and we're thrilled that he's ours.
Yeah, Brett, I want to stay on that point for 1 minute. Let's be very clear about this now. You were the only one who saw him as a point guard. Even his own father said, I'm not sure that's the right way to go. So when everybody else had questions, how did you know that that was the spot for him?
Gut feel. You know, just gut feel. It's like I had the unusual background. Like, I knew his mom and his dad before they were married. You know, I knew of Ben, you know, when he was born. I coached his father for 5 years. And, you know, I'm the son of a coach, and I got a young son that plays basketball now, like that AAU sort of thing going around. He's 13 years old. And when I look back and I saw Ben young, and you spoke to his junior coaches, and then you watched him in high school, and you watched him at LSU, you would see tendencies where he wanted the ball. If you were to go into like a game of eight-year-olds, there's about four players that come always back for the ball. There's four guys that want to be a point guard. Then they get to about 14, and there's probably three guys that still want to come back to the ball and be a point guard. And by the time they're 16, you got two guys fighting for who's going to be a point guard. He's done that his whole life. He's always wanted the ball. And when I saw that sort of characteristic, and you connect the dots with my sort of upbringing and me just being a coach for a long time, I felt like it was worth the try. Like, I really felt like he could do it. The stuff you talked about with his poise, though, Jim, I didn't know that also was a part of his package.
Sixers head coach Brett Brown, my guest. Brett, I got to ask you about your son. You mentioned you've got a 13-year-old son playing AAU ball. I mean, I would never, ever compare me to you, but I'm curious, what's it like to watch him? I mean, as a father, I've got a couple of kids in club baseball. Brett, watching them is more nerve-wracking to me than anything I do in my day job. What's it like for you to watch your 13-year-old son play?
Isn't it funny, Jim? Because I go into the gym, and, you know, if I go to the game with my wife, I'll go to one corner of a gym and sit by myself.
Sure.
And I've done it for years, and, you know, she'll at times come sit with me, but she knows I don't really speak at all. And most times she'll go with other parents, and I just go up into a corner and just, you know, shut up and watch the game. And so I hear you. It is my greatest joy, though. I have to say that. It's a thrill. You know, just watching him compete and being able to share my environment and sort of my profession to try to, you know, help him, that stuff is equally sort of satisfying to me. And so it's still for sure one of my great joys.
Brett Brown joining us for a few more moments. Brett, Joel Embiid obviously was frustrated after the game about, quote, being babied, as he put it. You know he wants to play. I know you appreciate his desire to get back on the court, but at the same time, you don't want to rush him back, obviously. So what's the next step in that process, and do you have a sense when he might be available?
Yeah, I mean, it's a complete confliction, isn't it? Because you got this, you know, young, incredibly competitive person that has had so many setbacks and fought his way through things, you know, and ended up out of completely sort of unlikely circumstances playing a high volume of games that nobody expected. You know, we end up having a tremendous season. He ends up being selected to the All-Star team. And, you know, things are moving. And then he's got that sort of incredibly unusual injury that has put him out. So, like, he's trying to fight and get back with his teammates. You know, you have doctors that are trying to make sure they do the right thing for the long term with his health. I'm trying to get him in as best shape as I can, you know, trying to find the protective mask that's most comfortable and doesn't sort of obstruct too much vision line stuff. And so there's a whirlwind of emotions, and you know, we were winning for the most part, you know, over the past month. We'd won 17 games in a row, you know, some of them, I think half of those with him. And so, like, he's just voicing his displeasure of not being able to be with his team, not play in front of the Philadelphia fans, not being able to compete. And so somewhere, Jim, I expect there will be resolution, I hope soon, but we're keeping it moving. And, you know, Joel's heart is in the right place as he voiced his frustration.
So then finally, Brett, when you get that resolution, how much does the series change and your approach on both ends change when he does come back?
Yeah, no, fair point. Like, without Joe, we play fast, we shoot threes, and, you know, we lead the NBA in passes. The ball flies around the gym, and we're proud of those types of things. I believe that we've taken sort of the realities and strengths of our team and tried to structure the offense, you know, to the strengths. And so now here comes Joe. You have two things that stand out when you inherit Joel back into the mix. Defensively, there is a 7'2". I think the defensive player of the year. I give a lot of respect to Rudy Gobert in Utah, but I'm biased, of course. And so you got a defensive presence that we do not have right now. And I think when the game is going fast and that's just, you know, at times not working, which it, in the playoffs that can happen, you can just dump the ball inside to Joel. And, like, I lived that world with Duncan for all 12 of my years with Pop. You know, those guys with Manu and Tony, if everybody's flying around, then the game would require something different. And you had a legitimate target in Timmy, obviously. And I think you have that in Joel. And so defense, offense, he, to me, makes us whole. He is a difference maker. And I sure look forward to getting him back as soon as I'm able.
Sixers head coach Brett Brown joining us. Once again, he led that team to 52 wins in the regular season. The series now shifts back to Miami. Brett, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. I know you're in the heat of the battle. And to come through this morning for that conversation is just awesome. Brett, thank you very much. And always good to have you on the show.
Yeah, always good to speak to Jim. Thanks for having me.
Brett, thanks so much for doing it. I know you're busy.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
You too. Brett Brown joining us after game two. Love that book. Love that relationship, too.